Well, good morning. Good to see you, friends. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, all wisdom dwells within you. When you formed the world, you formed it with wisdom. You made the heavens with understanding. You set the dew upon the earth. And then you unleashed creation. It's remarkable the power that you have. The knowledge, the foresight, the wisdom, the plans, you are wonderful to behold. And while there are things that we can see in creation, we are utterly dependent upon and in need of your word. And so help us as we think about immigration. We want to think your thoughts, your ways. We want to have a heart of compassion. We also want to consider what is just and right and good within a nation. And so just help us as we have the conversation and as we wrestle with these questions and sharpen one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, we're thinking about the civil state and how it defends. And that's led us to begin to think about not only the civil state defends those who are within its borders, but it defends itself from those who are without its borders. And so we must come to the topic of immigration. So we began that conversation last week. I'm just going to do a little bit of review. Everybody here has an immigration story. At some point in history, your ancestors immigrated to this country. And we talked about how just a number of current things that are happening in our nation, immigration is a important topic for us to think through, something that's front burner. The inauguration happens tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Jenny about this and just, you know, the president has plans for things to do with immigration and deport a number of individuals. This is front and center in our government, in the political realm. But as we remind ourselves that God is not unfamiliar with this sort of immigration. In fact, it's part of the whoop and wharf of the life of his people Israel. Going in exile, coming out of exile, going in exile into other nations, being moved around. He's familiar with famine and slavery, being without a home, foreign occupation, and so forth. Talk about how Jesus himself experienced sojourning, traveling into a land, and coming back. We began to look at the evangelical immigration table, their study for immigration that they provide, and the scripture text. And you can see, depending upon the translation that you look at, there are a lot of different words. What are different words that we see used for immigrants? What are synonyms for immigrants? Alien, sojourner, foreigner, yep. Traveler, wanderer, might be resident alien, native, not native. Stranger. So where we landed last time was to say we want to go to the text of Scripture and ask, is there one word in Hebrew or Greek? We'll largely spend most of our time in Hebrew right now, in the Old Testament. Is there one word or are there multiple words? And do those words, are they synonymous with each other? Are they overlapping or are they mutually exclusive? So that's what we want to begin to study this morning. Who is the sojourner? Who is the foreigner? So let's begin to think about that. Who is the sojourner? Now this is often the Hebrew word is ger, and it's used 92 times in the Old Testament. It's often translated alien or sojourner or stranger most frequently. You might see texts like Genesis 23. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Those are two separate words there. I'm a sojourner, a ger, and a foreigner, a tosav, among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Of course, where's Abraham from? Originally, Ur of the Chaldees, yes. Remember that the Lord prompted him to pick up his household and travel thousands of miles across the Euphrates to enter into what we would know as modern-day Israel. So he's a foreigner because he's not from this area, but he's sojourning. So you start to see a bit of a distinction between this idea of sojourning and being a foreigner. And he's looking for property. The next time we see this word is in Exodus 12, verses 43 to 51. Would somebody like to read those verses? And just notice as we're going through this passage, you're going to pick up on some different words. So kind of be on the lookout for that as somebody reads this passage.
And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. The stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts."
So you see, stranger, foreigner, two different groups here. What do we observe that's different about them?
Foreigners, no.
No what?
No, they don't get the Passover.
They don't get to partake in the ceremonial worship, the religious worship of Yahweh. Yep. The word there for foreigner is bene nekhar. And we'll come back to that word in a little bit. So the foreigners, bene nekhar, they don't get to participate in the Passover. Why do you think that is, given what you read here?
Then he has this whole section where he talks about welcome the sojourner because you were once sojourners in Egypt. So I think there's a difference between people that are willing to, like Ruth, for example, like your God is my God. She was a Moabite, but she's willing to be, you know, in a sense, like I want to worship the one true God, but I'm not ethnically Jewish.
Sure.
So, and then I think the nations, destroy the nations, these were people that were going to pull them away from worshiping God. They had others. So I'm thinking there's probably something similar to that, where a stranger would be somebody that's maybe more of a scoffer, or somebody that's just very much not interested in honoring the Lord.
Yeah. And what's maybe a clue here in this passage that's distinguishing them, along the lines of what Jolene's saying? Foreigners, non-natives, non-ethnic peoples,
uncircumcised.
That's probably the clue here that we're picking up on, right? If you're willing to sojourn, to take on the identity and culture of Israel, you're going to get circumcised. Whereas if you stay a foreigner or a hired worker, you're not going to get circumcised. Therefore, you can't participate in the congregation of Israel and their worship of God. But if you are a foreigner and you're willing to get circumcised, and there's other things that we'll see in the text as we go forward, then you can be a stranger who sojourns among the Israelites. This gets repeated on the back end of the wilderness in Numbers 9. Maybe it was November, that time of year, I don't know. Numbers 9. We go forward in Exodus a little bit to Exodus 22, verse 21. This is just shortly after the giving of the Ten Commandments. And we hear the Lord say to Israel, "You shall not wrong a sojourner, a ger, or oppress him. For," and he gives the reason why, you yourselves were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Why should you not treat people this way? Because you know what this experience is like. That's the reason the Lord gives us here. You were sojourners. You know what it's like to be oppressed. It's unjust. It's wrong. Don't do this. Okay, Leviticus 18. There in the law says, "And you shall say to them, any one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who sojourn among them, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice." So here we're now seeing that the strangers, the sojourners, not only participate in Passover, but they get to be a part of, well, there's a sacrifice in Passover, but they're getting to offer the sacrifices with the Israelites. And interestingly, verse 9 says, "And does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from his people." So the idea here is that if you're a sojourner and you can offer sacrifices, if you don't do this in the right way, you can be cut off from the people of Israel. You've come in, but there's a way that you can be cut out. So Leviticus 19, "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Again, this idea that the one who's sojourning, who's come in, who's culturally assimilated and become part of this people group, you treat him with equity, with fairness. He's now like a native, even though he didn't begin as a native among you. Leviticus 25 says this a number of times. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. He says, he talks about strangers and sojourners repeatedly throughout this chapter. We're not going to look at all 92 uses, just kind of giving you an idea of how this word is referred to, how it's used, especially in the law. Deuteronomy 14, "At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do." So what are they being involved in here? Taking care of those who specifically don't have land, right, are economically vulnerable in some way. And so they're saying, these are part of your people. Over the course of whatever's taken place in their particular lives, they're at an economic disadvantage. And there's a way in which you're to help take care of them out of the surplus and abundance of your land producing goods. Numbers 35. "These six cities shall be for refuge for the people of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills any person without intent may flee there." So here we see two words. Stranger is ger and sojourner is tosav. So again, this other Hebrew word that seems to be synonymous with ger. 1 Chronicles 29, moving forward to history. They're looking back and saying, "For we are strangers before you and sojourners," again, ger and tosav, "as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding." So James Hoffmeyer, he used to be an Old Testament professor at TEDS. I don't think he's there anymore. I was trying to find him, but I think he's since either retired or moved on. But he says this, "A person who entered Israel and followed legal procedures to obtain recognized standing as a resident alien." That's who a ger is. Somebody who comes into the land, they follow the legal requirements of the nation, they become a citizen. a resident alien. So why might sojourners permanently dwell among the Israelites? What are reasons why? What comes to mind?
They love Yahweh and wanted to serve him.
They come to love Yahweh. Yeah, that'd be the best reason. Yes. What else?
They see the prosperity, the blessings of the culture and the land.
They see that, yeah. These are fruitful people. They seem to be blessed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the kindness with which they treat them.
Mm-hmm. These people are different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not always.
They come through the hardship in their own.
Yeah.
You know, famine.
Or yep.
War. Or, I mean, there's many reasons.
Yes. Yeah. They're seeking maybe political asylum then, or they're seeking, you could say, economic asylum, relief from famine or hardship. Yeah.
They're basically assimilating into.
Yes.
So they're taking on the culture and religious life of the community around them.
Yes. They're not coming in and setting up separate cities in which they build their own sort of ethnic community and don't really interact or mix with the Israelites. Yeah. Maybe they want to avoid destruction by Israel. That's probably another reason as well. In fact, we know of the Gibeonites who tricked the Israelites into this because they saw the writing on the wall. Their intent is not to stay a foreigner, an illegal immigrant, or a visiting alien or non-citizen. They want to come in and join the people. They want to be assimilated. And that's the idea we should get of the sojourner. Now, who is the foreigner? Here we're looking. Yep. So here we're looking at the Hebrew word nokri or nokrim, which would be plural, or bene nekhar, which would be sons of the nokrim. So Genesis 17, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any bene nekhar, who is not of your offspring. So there might be those that you would bring into your household, Abraham. They're offspring of foreigners. They're not amongst your clan. If they're going to come in and sojourn with you, they need to be circumcised. Now, we saw the Exodus passage. We looked at that. But Leviticus, here we're looking at the context of what are acceptable offerings before the Lord, Leviticus 22. And we hear this, any animal that has its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord. You shall not do it within your land. Those animals are not valid sacrifices. Neither shall you offer as the bread of your God any such animals gotten from a foreigner, a bene nekhar. You can't go to the foreign meat market and buy an animal from a foreigner. You have to buy it from a Jew. Since there is a blemish in them because of their mutilation, they will not be accepted for you. And that's probably more the reason. It's not necessarily that they were foreigners, but what they did with their animals, how they treated them. Those animals were not going to be fit for acceptable sacrifices. Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, his brother, because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner, you may exact it, but whatever of yours is with your brother, your hand shall release. So here there's a different treatment to the foreigner versus fellow brother, sister Israelites. Deuteronomy 23. You shall not charge interest on loans to your brother. Interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest. You may charge a foreigner interest, but you may not charge your brother interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Here we see different economic policies, different lending policies, depending on who you're working with. Now, this idea of foreigner is used elsewhere to describe foreign gods. There's Yahweh, and then there are foreign gods. There's the homeland, and then there's the foreign land. David wrote a number of psalms about foreigners, not the people who were with him, with the Israelites. Isaiah and Jeremiah warn that Israel will be overcome by foreigners, and as they prophesy coming destruction for Israel. Let's turn to Ezekiel 44. If someone would like to read Ezekiel 44, verses 4 to 9.
And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I shall tell you concerning all the statutes of the temple of the Lord and all its laws. And mark well the entrance to the temple and all the exits from the sanctuary. And say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, enough of all your abominations in admitting foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, to be in my sanctuary, profaning my temple, when you offer to me my food, the fat and the blood. You have broken my covenant in addition to all your abominations, and you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep my charge for you in my sanctuary. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, of all the foreigners who are among the people of Israel, shall enter my sanctuary.
So what was the problem happening in the worship in the temple?
They let
unbelievers who were foreigners, again, not circumcised, not willing to become proselyte worshipers of Yahweh. Yeah. Leviticus 22:10 says, a lay person shall not eat of a holy thing. No foreign guest of the priest or hired worker shall eat of a holy thing. But if a priest buys a slave as his property for money, the slave may eat of it, and anyone born in his house may eat of his food. So as we look at these texts about the foreigner, you see they're not treated the same way as the sojourner, but they still should be treated humanely as human beings, as individuals. They don't have the full rights of citizens in Israel, but they're still human. Now, why might foreigners temporarily dwell among the Israelites? What are reasons?
Asylum.
But we might say in this case, they're asylum, but they're not planning to stay. Maybe they're hoping to go back, say, after the war ends, or they're just passing through on their way to their eventual place of residence. Yep. They could be traders, merchants, there for economic reasons, on business. Yeah.
They could be passing through the land, like the Israelites
What's Edomites?
Sons of Esau.
Yeah.
The Edomites. There you go.
Yeah.
They asked to pass through their land during the time of the Exodus.
Yeah.
They didn't let them.
Right.
But that would be a reason to be in the land.
Mm-hmm. Passing. Yes. Yeah. If whether you like it or not, in the new Lord of the Rings show, the hobbits are a people group who are. They're always wandering. They're always traveling. The origin of the Shire folk is that people who are always traveling, they don't have a permanent resident. They're always passing through lands and making by. You might think about how Israel is uniquely centered on the map and in history, trade roads, or even just roads from one nation to another nation. You have to go through Israel to get to a lot of places between different powers and nations. So people might just be traveling through for that reason as well. Yeah. What else? Why might you be a foreigner in the land of Israel? Could be an ambassador of other nations. Yep.
You could be like those skilled hiring workers that
yes.
Hiram,
yes.
That were building the temple. So they perhaps had different skills that they needed.
Yep.
You were hired to do that.
Yeah, hiring some temporary workers skilled in some way. You know, you think back further in history, and we don't want to presume that every city had a full array of comprehensive workers who could do things. Skills, we live in a time where skills are more pervasive and spread out across regions and areas. Maybe there were international students back then coming to study at Solomon's, you know, feet or whatever. He's the wisest man in the world. Queen of Sheba, international traveling foreign student. Yeah, also foreign ambassador, you know, all, many of the above. Think of the example of 2 Samuel 15. This is the time of, I want to say David. Yeah, David. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go no, not where?" This is when David's being pushed out by his son. "Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." So Ittai's recently arrived in the land. He's probably seeking asylum. He's in exile from his homeland. He's barely been there. He's a foreigner right now. He hasn't really become a sojourner. But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go then, pass on." So Ittai the Gittite passed on with all his men and all the little ones who were with him, and all the land wept aloud as the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness. So here's a guy whose interest, maybe it seems like, is to sojourn. He wants to be a sojourner. He's been a foreigner. He's not quite a sojourner yet. He's in the immigration process, if you will, whatever that officially looks like in Israel. Jolene mentioned the case of Ruth earlier, and what's interesting is she is described this way in Ruth chapter 2. "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to..." This is, yes, Ruth. "And said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" So she describes herself as a foreigner, but she's come from Moab, right? And so she's not yet a sojourner. She's still thinking of herself as a foreigner, an outsider. Solomon says this about his hope for foreigners coming to worship Yahweh at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8, "Likewise, when a foreigner, and no cream, who is not of your people Israel, comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards this house, hear in heaven," he's talking to the Lord, "hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name." So there are going to be people who are foreigners, not ethnic Israelites, who want to be proselytes, who want to learn the ways of Yahweh and worship him. And they're going to come to this temple. Solomon's foreseeing this and hoping for this. Yeah, go ahead.
With the example of Ruth, I mean, that's probably a pretty good example that she had a choice. I mean, and she said, Naomi tells her, go back to your people.
Right.
I don't have any more sons. And she says, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people too. And she's extended the rights of the sojourner to glean the fields in Boaz's field. So, she attached herself to an Israelite house, and she was treated as a soldier, not a foreigner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she seems to be in this transition. That's what we're seeing in the Book of Ruth. Yeah.
Well, she can't be circumcised. Like, enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yep. So in the Old Testament, especially the Pentateuch, we see a distinction between these two sociocultural groups, the sojourner, the foreigner. There's a distinction between them. Sometimes are there people who are moving from being a foreigner to a sojourner? Yes. Are there ways that they might overlap? Yes. But there's also ways that we clearly see a distinction between sojourners and foreigners. We want to distinguish between the sojourner and the foreigner, as well as between the native brother and the foreigner. So the sojourner is separate but distinct from the foreigner. Going back to context of Deuteronomy 14, food laws for the clean, that are clean and unclean. You shall not eat anything that has died naturally. You may give it to the sojourner who is within your towns, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Now that's interesting, right? You can give unclean food to a sojourner, but you can sell it to a foreigner. Again, there's some distinction between these two groups, even over against native Israelites.
And we're saying that sojourners have converted to Judaism, and yet they can eat something
unclean. That's what this text is. Yeah.
Find themselves with the nation of Israel. To declare their allegiance to Yahweh and not to their old gods.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. I mean, you know, you think about circumcision of the heart. That's a circumcision of the heart. You know, there you bind yourself to the Almighty God and not to idols. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be circumcised in the heart.
But they're also required to be physically circumcised as sojourners that convert, right? We're saying sojourners are converts.
If the foreigner doesn't get circumcised, they're treated as a foreigner.
Yeah.
Because it means they have not bound themselves
to Yahweh.
Israel,
yeah.
And Israel's God.
Yep.
And the verse you just read said sojourners,
yep,
versus foreigners, and sojourners, could you read it again?
Yeah, you shall. So you, Israelites, shall not eat anything that has died naturally, right? This is part of the clean, unclean food laws, right? You may give it to the sojourner who is within your towns, that he may eat it. Or you may sell it to a foreigner, and they're going to pay you for it. So.
I just find that interesting, that that's like allowed.
Well, and this is one of those, like, If we're understanding this, is this a foreshadowing of what we see in Acts, of what Jesus does with abrogating the food laws, when Peter is told the vision, eat all the animals that are on the blanket coming down from the heavens? I mean, we know this is where the arc of redemptive history is going, that there's not going to be these clean, unclean food laws. So.
And maybe that's why the sojourner. Still not fully accepted.
Well, they couldn't even own land, right? Because the land was parceled out
to natives.
Israelites,
yep.
And reverted to the original owner at the Jubilee year. Mm-hmm. So the sojourner could not own land, mm-hmm, in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they wouldn't be very well off.
That just seems like a second-class citizenship, I would
yeah.
say, compared to what the United States would offer.
Yeah. And because sometimes the like the food laws probably have as much to do with, as Julian was saying, and some of the other laws have as much to do with the pagan neighbors and the things that they would do with food, things that they would do with their religious practices. We might see changes later in history. But at that time, because their neighbors were doing these things, this was off limits, because Yahweh is very clear. You are distinct from these people. You are mine. I've redeemed you. You're not going to behave like these people. Now, granted, there are things like child sacrifices that the neighbors were doing that Yahweh is never like, this is okay. As we're going to think about this morning on Sanctity of Life Sunday, right? That's there's these different categories that make it complex at times to think about ethics. So, all right. So here you see here a distinction between sojourner or foreigner with food laws. Deuteronomy 15. This was the looking at the release that can happen. And again, we're seeing a distinction between your brother, an Israelite, and the foreigner, and what you can exact from them. Or the financial relationships differ. We saw that in Deuteronomy 23. The interest that you could charge, you can't charge interest on your fellow Israelite brother. But a foreigner, the rules are, or I don't want to say wide open, but you could charge interest on them. So Proverbs 5 says this, "And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner." And I'm just kind of reiterating evidence for it. There's a distinction between brothers in Israel, sojourner, foreigner. All right? Different categories. So foreigners have a different legal and economic standing than native Israelites and sojourners. For foreigners should be treated with distinction according to their legal status. But everybody should be treated humanely because they're image bearers of God. So a foreigner is not equal to a sojourner. And now it's time for you to think about what could this mean for immigration policies today? Just this, have those categories in mind, that there's distinct groups, sociocultural, sociopolitical groups. Sojourner is not equal to a foreigner. What could that very broad principle mean as you think about immigration policies today? Talk with the people at your table. All right, let's do this, because I cannot leave Andy hanging. So you guys have 5 minutes here. And then the next section is, O Israel, how should you treat the sojourner? Right. So these are people who are foreigners coming into the land. They want to stay. They want to be involved with the life and culture of Israel. How should you treat them, O Israel? So look up those passages that are there and figure out the way that you should treat the sojourner. And then we'll come back and I'll summarize things and we'll wrap up there for today. All right, so the sojourner is an assimilated outsider. An assimilated outsider. Wink, 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 wink. The foreigner are unassimilated outsiders. I know there are foreigners in the sanctuary. But not for long. I'm just making a... all right. So, O Israel, how should you treat the sojourner, the assimilated outsider? You want to grant them what sort of privileges? Equal legal. You want to grant them legal privileges. They get to share in the tithe. They get to participate in the Sabbath produce. Their cities of refuge are available to them. You're not going to treat them unjustly, oppress them, wrong them, give them equal legal privileges. And you want to welcome them to what? To worship Yahweh. Yeah. They get to observe the Sabbath, offer sacrifices, participate in festivals, celebrate the Passover if they're circumcised. Yet, these are people who are economically and culturally vulnerable because they're included with groups of widows and orphans, right? So you want to protect them from exploitation or injustice. Yeah. And you can see a whole bunch of passages that we could look up. So, okay. So sojourners were others who become culturally accepted, active participants in Israelite communities, even though they retain to an extent their otherness. So, whereas the foreigners are unassimilated outsiders, right? They're prohibited from the Passover. They don't receive the Sabbath produce. They don't get protection financially. They don't have the same benefits and responsibilities as sojourners. So Robert Jones summarizes, he says, while the sojourner is protected and included, although still characterized as other, the foreigner is excluded, and in some cases even exploited. So there are roughly two approaches to outsiders. Another way you could come at it, there's exclusion. We keep you at bay. We don't participate with you. Part of that's the repeated warning. Don't mix with foreigners because of what that leads and happens to with worship. You'll fall away from Yahweh. On the other side is inclusion, transformation, the story of Ruth, Melchizedek, Jethro, Balaam, prophetic hope for the future Gentile inclusion. Read Isaiah 56. Read Isaiah 56 this week. We don't have time to do that. We're going to wrap up now. The ultimate redemptive arc is that foreigners are going to be invited in from the whole world. We are a bunch of foreigners who are getting invited into the people of God. That's the arc of where all of history is going. That's the heart of God ultimately, is that foreigners get to come in. That's the beautiful, wonderful story of what God is doing for us and for others, and that we get to be a part of in making disciples. And we get to worship God as we continue with our Sunday morning. So Father, thank you that we get to worship you and praise you, that we were foreigners and you brought us into the people of God. You call us children. And we love you and are grateful. Help us to continue to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.